Ladies and gentlemen, sorry to interrupt your lunch, but I'm just going to kick this off so that everyone can leave on time. I'm Nan He, a correspondent governor of the club. Before I begin, can I ask everyone to switch off their mobile phones or put it on silent mode? We're taking a video of this event, which will be uploaded tomorrow on our YouTube page, is FCCHK. Okay. We have a very fascinating discussion ahead of us regarding drones, an emerging technology that's getting a lot of attention recently. It's a trend that's being embraced in many industries, in sports, in entertainment, in law enforcement around the world. From what I hear, the police force in Hong Kong uses this innovation. These unmanned aerial vehicles are also being embraced by the media. Some press networks are already using this technology. I'm sure many of you have seen incredible aerial footage captured by drones. The topic today is to learn more about these machines, how the technology will impact journalism, and also what are the requirements for flying these devices in Hong Kong. Jeffrey Yim is an expert in drones. He is a pilot who holds a USFAA private pilot license for fixed wing aircraft. He's also certified to fly drones in the UK. He also has a passion for photography, so in 2012 he combined his obsession with aircrafts and the visual arts to create KF Innovatus, a company that provides high-tech products and services, including aerial cinematography from the drones that he customized himself. So let's hear what he has to say about journalism's eye in the sky. Everyone, please give a warm welcome to Jeffrey Yim.
Thank you to the FCC for inviting me to this talk, and I hope I can share something with you on what I know about flying unmanned aircraft in Hong Kong. I won't introduce myself again, but I'm from Singapore, and I grew up in Singapore, studied in the UK, and decided to work in Hong Kong. And for the past 20 years, I've been with Swire Properties and Swire Hotels as their head of IT, and innovating all sort of things. And decided that before it gets too late, I'll get into business myself and innovate for myself. So I present to you my company, KF Innovatus. So one of my passions is to fly, and the first thing I did after leaving my job was to learn how to fly and got my private pilot license in 18 days. It doesn't take very long to learn how to fly. And also, I took up a course in the UK to fly unmanned aircraft, and is certified with what's called the UK Basic National Unmanned Aircraft Certification for Small Aircraft. In the UK, small aircraft is under 20 kg.
Well, the leaders of this protest movement called for a massive turnout today, and just look at it. They've certainly achieved that, filling up the streets of the royal capital and spilling out into other parts of the city. This is an impressive turnout. In a real election, all these numbers may not count. The government may still be able to win that next election that is called today. And that, for the people here, would leave the situation still unresolved and unsatisfactory.
This is in the Ukraine, and it's by one of the online news channels. They didn't put any audio tracks on it, it's just the humming of the drone. It's about a protest that we had. This is a shot of the UK in Worcester when they had a flood, I think it was last year. So unmanned aircraft is already being used in journalism and by the BBC since, I think, late last year. They actually did quite a lot. They actually had a staff trained in a similar course to the BNUC, got himself qualified for commercial work in the UK. This is just some of my work that I do in pretty stunning sceneries of Hong Kong. So the last slide was on a trip from, or the last video, the last part, was on a trip from Hong Kong to Macau with a swimmer called Simon Holliday, where he swam for 10 hours, 20 minutes to get from Hong Kong to Macau. And it was tremendous. As Nanhe was asking, what was the most exciting job recently? Well, I would say that was running into a pod of rare Chinese white dolphins being captured was really a highlight. So unmanned aircraft, what are they? You get airplanes, okay, these are unmanned aircraft. Helicopters, unmanned aircraft. More recently, in the past few years, multi-copters have come up. You even get a hybrid of an airplane with a multi-copter. And this is just in the market recently. So what classifies itself as a multi-copter? It's basically having an N number of motors, typically 4, 6, 8, and even 12. And they're not complex equipment like a helicopter, where there are a lot of mechanical rotating parts. In a multi-copter, it's just the motor that's rotating. But for it to fly, it needs a computer. It can't fly on its own. By mechanical control. It needs a flight controller of some sort to make it fly. And just appreciation of the types of multi-copter. So I've said quad, hexa are six-bladed ones. And on the bottom left corner is the octas, which have eight. And some will actually have them stacked on top, the propellers stacked on top of one another. So you've got the Y6 and the X8 as well. Just to appreciate a bit more on the mechanics, usually it can be configured in different ways, a plus type of configuration or a cross type of configuration. And if there's time afterwards, you can come and have a look. I have a quad up here, which is one of my smaller aircraft. And the way it is, if those are, that are interested mechanically, it has propellers that are actually rotating clockwise and counterclockwise opposite of each other. And the pitch of the blades are also opposite of each other to maintain stability and the equilibrium of the thrust. And a bit more complex is actually the control system with multicopters. You do get the motors are controlled by electronic speed controllers, and that in itself is controlled, connected to a computer of some sort. And I think many people have heard of DJI. I think they're one of the more popular brand at the moment. And then finally, connected to a remote control unit. Something like this. This is the same type of unit that is used by hobbyists for radio control. So we're using the same technology. I think in Hong Kong, the CAD has got very restrictive guidelines for commercial work. And you can find it in their website at cad.gov.hongkong. And if you're into commercial work, you have to apply. No matter who tells you or what you have seen, if it's for a hobby, any aircraft, remote control aircraft under 7 kg does not need a permit. You can fly. But you have to fly safely and, you know, to be out of aerodrome location, away from Victoria Harbour. It's all stated in guidelines by the CAD. But if you fly commercially and you accept a reward for the flight, then you do need a permit. And the application must be submitted 28 days in advance of the flight to the CAD. And I do agree with having a permit. Basically, it ensures safe flight operations for all air users, especially in Hong Kong. Although we don't see many airplanes close by, but there's quite a lot of helicopter traffic in Hong Kong. And for an aircraft that is less than 7 kg, and for recreational purpose, it's classified as a model aircraft. But the same aircraft like this, if I use it for a commercial job, is classified as an unmanned aircraft, and I do need a permit. So here we see where actually you can fly. The chart on the left is actually the Hong Kong air charts, and it maps out areas that are controlled airspace and non-controlled airspace. So to fly commercially, in controlled airspace is more difficult. You do that. CAD definitely wants to know that. And in uncontrolled airspace, you still need a permit, so it doesn't make a difference. On the right-hand side, you see sort of the outline of Hong Kong with several blue circles. These blue circles are 5 kilometers radius, and they are prohibited for unmanned aircraft flights because they're near either an aerodrome, which is Chek Lap Kok, or near Victoria Harbour, we have the Shun Tak heliport in Cheung Wan, and also the Wan Chai heliport, and also the helipad in the peninsula. And the other blue circle, sort of in the middle of New Territories, is actually Sai Kung. That's the PLA base, and also the home of the Hong Kong Aviation Club for their fixed-wing airplanes. And the Hong Kong CAD also give several guidelines, like, in terms of altitude in order not to disrupt commercial and recreational aircraft. Unmanned aircraft are not supposed to fly above 3,000 feet above mean sea level and not higher than 300 feet above ground level. There is a difference. So if you're on a hilltop that is 2,900 feet, and if you fly 100 feet above ground level, you have actually reached 3,000 feet above mean sea level. So there's that sort of gap difference. Time of operation, only during daylight hours. So you get very nice shots of Hong Kong at night. So it is a flight that is actually illegal in Hong Kong. So what is daylight? 1 hour before sunrise and 1 hour after sunset. And we are governed also by visibility, because for unmanned aircraft, it is safe to fly on visual line of sight where you can actually see the aircraft and where other air users can see your aircraft. And in a lot of situations, visibility less than 5 kilometers would give other air users less of a warning if they do fly into your airspace. And clouds, so we are not supposed to fly into clouds, so the ceiling is cloud ceiling is to be below, above your approved operations. And wind, just now Tim asked me about wind. We're not supposed to fly if wind exceeds 20 knots. And you're supposed to also monitor winds at ground level so that at least you can anticipate winds at higher level. And also we don't fly in the rain. As you can see, the aircraft is pretty bare. All electronics are not covered. So if it flies in the rain, you do get damage on electronics. And also it may be a very good target for lightning strikes as well. And in Hong Kong, if you do have a permit, then you actually have to call the air traffic control before you take off and after you complete your flights to let them know you have finished your operation. And next is about your operating methods. Takeoff and landing, where are they? They are very interested in that. At least it should be segregated from the public so you maintain safe flying. And not flying within 50 meters of people. And also, if you're landing, it has to be about 30 meters away from the public. So what do we need to do? It's actually quite simple. On their webpage, it says fill in a form, and we'll let you know 28 days later if you can fly. But to fill in a form is actually a very difficult task for a lot of people, because the next thing you have to submit after filling in a form is something called an operations manual. And this is an operations manual that I have for my company and for my aircraft. And to learn this, I actually attended a course in the UK. They actually teach you how to read air charts, weather, and what is safe flight operations. And in Hong Kong, not many people actually is able to produce a flight operations without training. So as you see in Hong Kong, a lot of people do fly, but I don't know if they have permits or not. But if you're flying non-commercially, then you don't need to. So that's more of your call. I think that's all I have about regulations in Hong Kong and what I can share with you. Any questions? Yeah. Sure.
Say if there's a ship sinks in the harbour, or there's a train accident or something like that, it strikes me that the restrictions on using such a vehicle are so strict in Hong Kong that basically they're of no use whatsoever to most journalists in Hong Kong.
I think at the present time, with the current regulations, you are very right. Yeah, in the I hope it will change because that will help me a lot with my business. In the UK, it's slightly different. You do actually need a certification, formal training. So it's like driving. You know, if you want to drive a car, we were just discussing when the first car came out on the road in the US, most probably there was no driving license required. You just buy a car and you drive, and you know, you find that there's a lot of accidents. So in the UK, it's actually very much ahead of any other countries that I know of. They have a requirement that you need a certification, proper training, and you are certified for a year to fly within areas that are non-controlled airspace, sort of not into airport areas.
Just a quick follow-up as well. What would be useful for me as a journalist too is if, say, for instance, there's riots in Korea and I have to go to Korea to cover it and I want to take one of these with me, it'd be really useful to know which countries around this region what the regulations are like as well. I mean, I know you may not be able to answer that now, but it'd be really useful to know.
I do know that there are several countries that have a requirement similar to the UK, one of which is Australia. They have also a certification requirement. So if you're certified, then you can bring it to Australia. I'm not sure about Asian countries in Korea or China. I think most probably China is the first thing is no, it's military airspace.
If you want to have some questions, could you raise your hand and state your name or the organizer if you're with one up there in the middle?
Yeah, Gavin McDougall, Jeffrey, thank you. During that talk, you actually spoke about, well, you used two different terms. One was commercial flight, one was for hire and reward. Are they considered different? And if so, can you explain the difference between? Because obviously hire and reward would be if I hired you to go and film something for me. But is it considered commercial if I am a company, for example, that owns the drone and then are using it? So there's a difference between the terminology, and can you explain the difference between and how it may be applied?
From what I see is if it's not recreational, it's commercial. And hire and reward is one statement that it is in the CAD guidelines. To me, I do see both of them being similar, commercial and hired and for hire and reward. Because the only difference is for recreational. So if you're not using it for your business, you just upload it for YouTube, it's your hobby to fly, then you know you can use it. But it's a gray, very gray area.
Thank you very much. My name is Oliver. I have a question, again, the same topic. And that might be now going a bit into the legal terminology of it, but if I do something for my own pleasure and for recreational use, and then somebody else comes a month later and said, I want to buy that video of you, can I then, do I have to say then, sorry, I can't do so because I didn't get a prior license for the video?
I think I'm not a legal expert, so I won't want to make a comment on that, but it's really up to you.
there's a lady at the back there. Oh, the lady at the back. Oh, sorry.
Hi, I'm Pamela Boykoff from CNN. I know in the U.S. one of the struggles has not just been the licensing of the air flights itself, but what to do about privacy and trespassing laws when you're filming over private property. Has Hong Kong done anything to address that legal side of using drones?
For Hong Kong, there is a requirement to get a permit that it is that you have the approval of the landowners to fly over. You do do that. And in terms of the privacy aspect, there was a recent news program called Pearl Report, which also did about unmanned aircraft, and definitely the privacy commissioner is requiring, he said he would like if you comply to certain regulations and maybe certify for that. So I guess that's very high on the agenda as well.
Has anyone, Eric over there, and then the gentleman at the back?
Two quick questions. If I would be interested in this from a personal hobby point of view, Is there already a club in Hong Kong I could join where I could learn how to fly one of these things and use it? And my separate question is a result of what you asked, is why is the Privacy Commissioner worrying about people flying over private land if we already have Google Maps and the CIA and the NSA and everybody else photographing private land all over the world and in Hong Kong?
On the recreational side, there are only a handful of clubs that actually have a proper flying, or I think there's only one club that has got a proper flying field in Hong Kong. That's the HKMEC, somewhere in Yuen Long. To learn, as far as I know, there's one company that is teaching IT how to edit films, and they've bundled along how to fly as well. But speaking to quite a few people, maybe I should start a school to teach proper flight operations for unmanned aircraft, both recreational and commercial. On sort of privacy side, yes, would you actually need a license to own an iPhone because it has got a camera and you carry your camera everywhere you go? So I guess it's the same analogy. It's basically a camera on an aircraft. Yes, it can go higher up, but you know, the issue is with the person holding that particular camera. It's not the camera or the aircraft.
We've got a gentleman at the far left.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Very interesting talk. My name is Jackie O'Young. I'm an investor in technology. Just curious about, you know, your background with Swire, the original owner of Cathay Pacific. Now, you said that, you know, you left a very, obviously, very senior position in a big company, which has background in aviation,
yes,
to start your own business. So tell us a little bit, please, about your business, your ambition, and, like, how big do you think this business is going to go? Is it another cafe? Should I put money into it? Or what, how does it work? Tell us, please.
Maybe we can bring this offline and discuss this further. I think, maybe others may not be interested. But I left Swire Properties because I felt that the value that I can bring to myself seems to be a lot higher than being just an employee. I've done a lot of innovating things in the property side, in the hotel side, and you know, it would be just for me is you know, innovating for myself. Aerial cinematography is just one of my business. I have another side on 3D printing, so maybe I can do another talk on 3D printing and bring a couple of 3D printers to demo. And also entertainment helicopter flight simulators, briefly. Yeah.
Any more questions? I see a hand up there.
Very brief one, going back to the privacy issue. How high above my flat or my property do my rights extend? You know, when does airspace begin and my vertical property rights end?
Right.
Because, I mean, there's aerial photographs taken all the
yes.
time.
Yes.
Some of them down as low as 3,000 feet. I just wondered, you know,
yes.
when can I sort of, like, shoot down a drone flying over my property and when is it okay?
I'm not familiar with the air laws, but it seems that helicopters don't need any permission to fly over your property, as far as I know. A helicopter... A full-scale helicopter is not supposed to fly below 500 feet unless it is taking off or landing. So maybe that's the guideline. For an unmanned aircraft, we're not supposed to fly above 300 feet above ground level. Below 300 feet, yeah.
Is there anyone else who have questions? Oh, I got a gentleman there.
Hi, Jeffrey. Kevin Crable here. I have a question about what seems to be a new trend that's becoming more affordable, and that's the first-person flight or first-person video. You had mentioned that the Hong Kong ordinance said that you had to maintain line of sight with it, or it had to be in line of sight, with ranges going up to 6-7 kilometers. How far out does that line go?
With visual line of sight, it's not exceeding 500 meters. First-person point of view, it's definitely a very popular hobby at the moment in many countries. And I'm hearing that someone would actually want to fly from Hong Kong to Macau on a radio control plane, and he'll be making that quite soon from what I hear. So up to 40 kilometers he's going to fly, remote control.
Okay, and got another question here.
Yeah, sorry, Jeffrey, another question.
Sure.
Back to the news gathering component. Yeah. Obviously, timeliness is what counts in news gathering. And the 28 days is clearly highly restrictive in those terms, as is the 5-kilometre limit around operational areas, which to some degree, if there's a 300-foot ceiling on the aircraft, seems massively excessive. From the news operation point of view, in terms of the instantaneousness of getting up and covering things, how does what happens here in Hong Kong compare with other countries, particularly the two you mentioned, the UK and Australia, where there is a licensing process or a regulation process? And the follow-up to that is, how can that be changed, or have you examined how that can change in Hong Kong to make it, operationally possible for news gathering organisations who are obviously working on a timely basis?
I definitely appreciate that in terms of the timeliness. I think it will have to be, pressure from the industry and the community that, there is a need for unmanned aircraft flights for news. And the authorities, being the CAD, will need to review if they would allow or follow a similar regime like in the UK, where, if you're properly trained, properly certified, why not have a licensing sort of capability that you do fly responsibly, safely, and you're given maybe a license for a year and renewed yearly, so that you can fly at any time, and maybe even in areas that is generally restricted to recreational pilots, but allowed for commercial pilots. It won't be easy with government. There will be a lot of lobbying required, but I think where there is a need to drive a use of a new technology that require licensing, it's seeing what are the benefits for Hong Kong as a whole, and if we can work together and demonstrate that there is benefits for Hong Kong as a whole, maybe in journalism or in the movie entertainment industry, then hopefully the CAD would do something and review their current procedures.
There's a gentleman in a white shirt.
Coming from your analogy about the cars, do you need or do you recommend a specific insurance?
Oh yes. I for myself, because of my qualification from the UK, I have managed to get an aircraft insurance. You do need an aircraft insurance if you are flying commercially. So, yes. And I would have expected, even recreationally in Hong Kong, most people don't have insurance.
Is there any specific for recreational that you would
recommend? Insurance company?
Yeah, which type of insurance for the recreational use?
Radio control model planes. Yes, in the UK you do have that. And if you join a club in Hong Kong, the HKMEC is actually insured if you're flying within the club. Yeah.
Any last questions? Oh, there's a journalist at the back.
Hello, Jeffrey. I'm a reporter from the Hong Kong Economic Journal. I'm Condi. I want to ask that, because you are an innovator and you are engaged in the IT industry or the creative industry, do you think that recently some people said that the freedom of press or freedom of speech in Hong Kong are depressed? Do you think that this kind of depression will affect your industry? For example, if these kinds of depressions are depressed and some journalists can't report the news so easily and they may intend to buy your products, do you think that this will affect your industry? Thank you.
I think the industry is still in its pioneering stage. And with any pioneers, you do have to go through all the hurdles. to be frank, I'm not getting much business on the aero side. It's business is coming from another aspect of my company. But I would definitely appreciate, you know, if there are this capability to fly at any time within certain restrictions. Maybe it's a height restriction, maybe it's a location restriction. But, you know, to be able to respond to the needs of journalism and to be able to fly for them if they are not properly licensed, you know, to fly. I think the BBC actually have their own team that flies, and also they do use, even call them aerial contractors to fly for them when needed. So if that happens in Hong Kong, I would see that, you know, journalism would get another perspective of a higher altitude.
Okay, last question. Gentleman there.
Just where do you, thank you so much for the wonderful presentation. Where do you source most of your equipment from, and where would you suggest that somebody starting in this
right.
to go source? Thank you.
Not much, you don't get much from shops in Hong Kong, so it's mainly online. Initially, I did source from the US with components that are not available. Actually, now I source online and also in Taobao.
Okay. Before we close the event, I think Jeffrey has a demonstration. He's going to fly one of the smaller aircrafts in here.
It wouldn't be this one.
Not the big one. Follow up for safety reasons, obviously.
This is the smallest. This is the smallest aircraft that has got a camera and also an antenna for live telemetry. So I can actually see what I'm doing.
Thank you, Jeffrey. That closes the event. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for the-